Do y'all understand how wonderful it is to see you today? You are a beautiful sight. And I'm not joking. I'm reminded that, I'm determined. I want to appreciate my church family more than I ever have, especially considering the past couple of months. And it is so very good to get to look you in the eye, speak to you person to person. The casual things that we'd taken for granted before, the hi, how are you today, and how was your week, and I don't want to take that for granted anymore, and I just want you to know that I'm glad you're here. You are a beautiful sight to this preacher this morning. Today we're going to continue our study on the road to recovery, the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 4. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Now you may ask, Brother Doug, didn't you read this scripture last week? Yes, I did. And as I started preparing for this week, So I'm not preaching the same thing. But anyway, I feel it's a God-given message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Paul has been bragging on the church there at Thessalonica. Bragging to other churches, saying, you guys are doing great. Your faith is growing and your love is growing in very difficult times. And so we pick up in verse 4, it says, so that we ourselves, Paul speaking, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together today for worship. I thank you for each individual that's present this morning. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them here and for giving us this opportunity to participate in worship, and now for this opportunity to participate in looking and studying your word. Oh, Lord, speak to us through your word, I pray. Put your words upon my lips. That this message be yours, not my own. Give us hearts to hear, ears to hear, eyes to see. That your will may be done in this service. To you be all glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So tell me, are you ready for things to get back to normal? That's the best amen I've had in a long time. Absolutely, we are. You know, We speak right now, we say, well, I'll be glad when things get back to normal and businesses open up again and people go back to work and we just kind of get back to a normal life. That's what we desire, right? If there is such a thing as a normal life, we want to get back to it. Well, it's going to start with you and with me. If we're going to get back to a normal life, it's going to start with God's church. You see, the church at Thessalonica, they were experiencing crisis. As I said before, they were experiencing great persecution. They were experiencing false doctrine that was creeping into the church. And you know, as I look at this, I look at our last couple of months, and I think, okay, what's it going to take to get out of this? Well, I think Paul mentioned four things that the church at Thessalonica had that propelled them into the future. Four things that I want to mention or focus on today. As a matter of fact, it's just four little words. That first word is patience. Again, in verse 4, Paul said that we boast of you among the churches of God for your patience. Now, that word patience, I want you to understand, it's not what we would normally think. The word patience, it does not mean to sit and just endure. That word means to be consistent or steadfast. There was a consistency among the believers at Thessalonica that regardless of the circumstances, no matter who was against them, no matter what was against them, they were going to stand for God and the truth of God. That's why Paul said, good job, you guys. You're the same today as you were yesterday. You'll be the same tomorrow as you were today. No matter, you have not let very difficult circumstances change who you are. And that's what we have to do here. We are children of God. And I've noticed that it does not matter. There's always a crisis. Always. As you know, there's a new crisis today, and I find it interesting. I did watch the news this morning. I didn't hear anything about COVID-19. I heard about riots. Now, this isn't a political message, and I'm not informed enough to take a side on who's what. I do know this. Nobody has the right to abuse anybody else, period. End of conversation. Okay? But we woke up today to a new crisis. And there may be a new crisis tomorrow. But you can believe with every assurance that there will be more crisis in the future. So how are we to respond? How are we're to respond with consistency. I did notice that today in the midst of all the demonstrations, you know the one thing that was no longer important? Social distancing. I mean, for 2 months, all we've heard is 6 feet apart. Don't touch anybody else, you know? Stay home and stay safe. Nobody said that yesterday. No one. Why? Because it's a new crisis. Different circumstances. Maybe this is not so important anymore, the things we've been doing for the last 2 months. Listen. We've got to realize today that there's always a crisis. There's always going to be something. But God's people cannot cower in fear and stop living. Okay? God's people are God's people. We serve a God that is greater than any circumstances or any crisis that can strike this nation. We need to live with a consistency that says, I believe God. Period. End of conversation. That's who we are. That's who this world needs to see. They need to see a church, a consistent church. That's why next Sunday we're going back to almost regular service. We're going to have 2 Sunday school classes next Sunday. Come be a part of Sunday school. We're going to have 1 worship service next Sunday. A big worship service. I love preaching to y'all, but I'm looking forward to everybody getting together again. We're going to go back to normal, so to speak. And then beyond that, we're going to be taking more steps to get back to ministry, to get back to praying, to get back to praise that we once had. Why? Because we need to show this world that God is still God no matter what the circumstances are. I would challenge you. There are some people. Do not misinterpret what I'm about to say. There are some people who are still cowering afraid at home. There are high-risk people who need to stay home. I get that. But if you're not a high-risk person, at some point you're going to have to make the decision to start living again. Okay? I would encourage you. I'll come up beside you, put my arm around you. I'll do whatever it takes. But you need to get back to life. You get back in God's church. Take your take your hygiene practices and precautions, absolutely. But get back to living, because God did not give us a spirit of fear to stay at home and cover up our heads while the world passes us by. Okay? Get back into life. That's what the world needs to see. A people consistent. consistently proclaiming Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know, we've talked, our message is now reaching more people than ever on the internet, but are we as individuals consistently proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings? You want to know what's wrong with this nation? You want to know why the unrest that's going on in this nation? It is because this nation has turned its back on God. As such, we have ceased to value human life. We have ceased to value human, period. We've got to get back to a consistency in God's people so that the world can once again hear the message that Jesus saves. We've got to get back to consistency in prayer. Let me ask you a question. Are you concerned for our country? You should be. As I said, it's one crisis after another, and it's going to be that way. I speculate that the crisis may just increase with each occurrence in intensity. We've got to be praying. Consistently pouring out our heart before God, because, beloved, I believe more now than I ever have that this nation can be saved through the power and the grace of God. But apart from God, we have no hope. That has to be our message. We have to be consistent. Second thing we have to have faith. Paul said, we boast of you among the churches for your patience and for your faith. Oh, these were a people at Thessalonica. They were, it was tough times. They were being told they missed the rapture, and they were living during the time of the wrath of God, and they didn't have a clue what tomorrow held. But through it all, their trust and their reliance in God had not changed. Second thing we've got to learn how to do, that word faith, it means trust. We've got to learn how to trust God. Listen, you and I don't know what tomorrow holds. It may get worse, may get a little better, but one thing we do know, God is on His throne. We may get sick, we may stay well, but God is still on His throne. The social unrest may rise, it may fall, but God is still on His throne. We've got to live like we know the God that is on His throne. I've come to realize that God knows what we're going through. We sit around and we worry about everything. Oh, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know the God that knows what's going to happen. And I trust the God who knows what's going to happen. And second thing, God knows what He's doing. You ever noticed that? Or have you ever thought about that? When you get a little apprehensive and a little nervous about what's going on, you back up, and if you're a child of God, you've got to understand God knows what He's doing. How many of you use Siri to drive? For driving directions. Am I the only one that uses Siri to drive you driving directions? Oh, I do. When I go to the larger cities and I have to drive, I say, Siri, take me there. When I first started using that application, I was a little skeptical. Does this woman know where I'm going? Is she going to get me to where I'm going? And every once in a while, Siri does mess up. Okay, but I have learned through the course of time and by experience that 99% of the time, Siri gets me where I'm going in her directions if I follow her directions. And so what I do, when I go to Nashville or if I go to the bigger cities, Dallas or anywhere like that, I'm calling on Siri. Siri, take me to my hotel. Siri, take me to my destination. Because she's proven that she pretty much gets me where I'm going. Listen, that's the way we live as Christians. God has proven Himself to us. God has never forsaken us. He's never left us. He's never left us to fend for ourselves. God is still God. We have to learn how to trust Him when we do not have all the answers. You see, Paul, and I love what Paul told Timothy. He's encouraging young Timothy, a pastor at Church of Ephesus, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 12. Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day." Paul backs up and said, "Timothy, sometimes it gets tough. Sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I do know this. I know whom I have believed." Listen, if there's a resurgence of coronavirus tomorrow, I know whom I believe. Do you? If there's social unrest tomorrow, I know whom I believe. Do you? If there's economic collapse, if there's depression, whatever the social circumstances, I know whom I have believed. And He has promised He will never leave me nor forsake me. I've got to live that way. Trust Him. Learn how to trust. Next thing we need for this time of recovery, we need endurance. Paul said he's bragging to the church of God for their patience, for their faith, and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So that you're sticking with it in spite of the circumstance. The church at Thessalonica was willing to tolerate, and that's what that word endure means. It means to tolerate. They were willing to tolerate whatever circumstances they had to go through. And remain faithful. Listen, it was not a fun time in the church at that point. They faced persecution, false doctrine. It was a hard time, but they were willing to tolerate or to bear up under it. It's kind of that, this is what we've got to go through because this is where we are. But this is not going to change who I am. That's what we need to do as God's people. We need to learn how to bear up under those loads that are a little bit hard to carry. We need to learn how to take our stand and just sometimes know that I can't do anything about this. But I'm not moving. My faith is still in God. And that's not changing. I look back at David. Remember King David? You know he was anointed king something like 15 years before he actually became king? What'd he do during that 15 years? He had to endure those years of being chased down and hunted by Saul. You know? But he endured it. Let me tell you something where we're going. Alright? Everybody's attention. Jesus Christ is coming to get us. Okay? I believe it could be today. I believe it could be tomorrow. It could be next week. But I believe we're living in that time where we're getting close and Jesus Christ is coming. And there's a lot of things going on that, yes, they cause fear. Yes, they make us feel uncertain about society. But listen, I know where I'm going. And I know whom I have believed. And whatever I have to go through to get from point A, which is where I am now, to point B when Jesus says, "Come up, my children," that's what I'll deal with because God is God. Listen, I think we just sometimes need to learn how to endure. When it gets a little hard, we fold up, take our toys and go home. When it gets a little hard, we become downhearted. We get discouraged. We back up and say, "Well, might as well quit." And, oh, no. As a child of God, I have more to live for than I've ever had before. I know where I'm going. Do you? You know, you look at the words of the Apostle Paul. Said, "I keep pressing toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. I'm not quitting, I'm not backing up, not moving. This is who I am, this is who I'm going to be tomorrow, and I'm going to keep pressing because I know what lies ahead." What lies ahead for all those who are children of God is heaven. May not be fun. We may not can do anything about our circumstances. We may just have to bear up under them and keep pressing forward. But that's called endurance. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he said to them, "Good job, guys. Keep her up. Bear up under that load Don't collapse. Don't give in. Don't quit. Then finally, the fourth thing we need. This is the most important thing that we've got to have as we move forward. It's grace. Grace. Paul, verse 5. He said, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. That you may be counted worthy for the kingdom of God, or of the kingdom of God for which you suffer. I want to call your attention to that. And I want you to understand the real meaning there. I want you to understand, first of all, that we are not working to be counted worthy to go to heaven. That's not what Paul's saying. Endurance and trials do not make you worthy of heaven, but they do demonstrate your worthiness of heaven. The difference, God makes you worthy when He saves you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanses us from all unrighteousness, forgives us of sin. God makes us worthy. And as we go through these crises, these trials, these tribulations, these social unrest, all of that is very simply an opportunity for us to demonstrate to the world who we are. And that's what Paul's saying. You know, when we show our patience or our consistency, the world asks, why? Why do you continue? Why do you press forward? And we share Jesus with them. When we show our trust and reliance upon Jesus, the world says, why do you trust in God? All this is happening. It's a testimony. As we continue to bear up under the circumstances, the world looks at us and says, why do you continue to carry that world, that load? My Jesus. Again, a testimony. But the only way we can do all that, listen to me good, the only way that you can endure, the only way that you can have faith, the only way that you can have patience is by the grace of God. Listen, I can preach all this, let's be big Christians and let's buckle up and let's be strong and let's press forward. And you know, but folks, let's face it, we can't. Okay? On our own, we can do nothing. Remember, I can do nothing of myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's the grace. There's the grace. Listen, we can get fired up, and I can get tough in a moment, you know, and read this stuff and get tough in a moment. But once we get into the battles and we're taking shots and we're carrying loads and it looks pretty bleak and I don't know how this thing's going to turn out, it's easy to get discouraged. How do you keep it? You keep it by the grace of God. Realize therein is our strength. I love the Apostle Paul in his story of the thorn in the flesh. We read about in 2 Corinthians, I believe. He said he had a thorn in the flesh. And three times he pray, Lord, remove that thorn. And finally, God answered his prayer. Do you remember what God said? My grace is sufficient for you. Listen, I don't care what we're going through as a nation, as a people, as children of God. I don't care what's going on around us. We can take that verse of Scripture, my grace is sufficient, and apply it to where we are. My grace is sufficient, he told Paul, for you. I'm sorry, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. How are we going to make an impact during this time of crisis? People are going to see Jesus living in us through the grace of God. That's the way that we make the difference that we're talking about. Listen, today, I want to ask you, where are you? It's wonderful times in which we live. I'm serious. It's good times. It's a good time to share Jesus. It's a great time to declare to the world our faith. To let them see our faith. And there's more opportunity now than there's ever been. I think I've shared this with you, but I'm going to share it with you again today. Met a man one time and introduced himself to me as the biggest sinner in Lone Oak County. And he said, "I'm the reason, preacher, men like you have a job." And from what I understood, he's probably right. He was a rounder. But you know what? The fields are wide in the harvest for all of us right now. Everywhere you look, there's a need for God. In our police force, there's a need for God. In our different ethnic groups, there's a need for God. In our society, in our government, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our classroom, there's a need for God. They need to see God living in us by these testimonies of endurance, faith, and consistency. You may be here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to offer you this. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You're a sinner. You've sinned and come short of the glory of God, but you need to be saved. Why is it so important? Because these are uncertain times. We don't know what tomorrow holds. You may not live to see tomorrow. And if you were to die today, you've got to consider the question, where will I spend eternity? One of two places. There's a heaven, there's a hell. And you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places based upon what you do with Jesus Christ. Will you ask Jesus to save you today? Knowing He is the Son of God who died for your sin. Knowing that He's seated at the right hand of God, alive, risen from the grave, waiting to hear for your request. Today, will you call upon the Lord? Maybe you're here today and you've been living in fear too long. Today, it's time to back up and say, "Lord, I trust You." Maybe you're here today, you just feel like you need to come to this altar and pray for our nation. Altar's open. Altar's open. Whatever your spiritual need is, you come. Our Father in heaven, Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence in times of crisis. Lord, there are some things that we can do, but it all comes down to Your grace. So in our efforts to stand strong, to trust, to endure, to be consistent, Lord, I pray for Your grace that will enable us to do so. And now as we come to this invitation, I pray that You will freely move among us, that You will draw men to You, that we'll see the lost saved, and that we'll see the saved. That we'll see the saved, Lord. Renew their relationship with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.